The Bible reading for today comes from two places. The first is Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, and it can be found on page 887 on the Brown Pew Bibles. It can be found on page 1186 on the Chinese Bibles. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The next Bible reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. And it can be found on page 961 in the Brown Pew Bibles, and page 1300 in the Chinese Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. A special welcome to any of you who might be here for the first time, because I'm aware that we have at least one person here for the first time this morning, baby Obed, son of Alan and Ruth, is with us on a Sunday morning. So it's great to see you guys. Let's pray, and then we'll turn our attention to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we pray that from your word this morning, you will remind us of who you are and what you care about. We pray that you will reshape us according to Christ and that you will equip us to live our lives for his glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm going to address a specific topic. It's the role of deacons in Christ's church. The thing that's prompted this is that back in 2022, we appointed a team of 5 people to serve as deacons in this church for a term of 3 years. And so, of course, now those 3 years are complete. And we considered holding an election for new deacons now at the end of the year, but we thought about it, we thought Christmas is coming, it could easily be rushed and we could easily be distracted. And so we've decided to wait until early next year to have our deacons' election. But today we'll spend some time in God's Word getting some clarity about the role of deacons so that we can think and pray and prepare. And it's worth thinking about this topic, not only because we're going to have a deacon's election, but also it's an opportunity to reflect on the kind of community that the Lord Jesus has called us to be. My focus this morning will be on that passage Celine read to us from Acts chapter 6, which will guide us through two main questions. Number one, why have deacons? And number two, who should we appoint as deacons? Although, maybe I do need to start by defining what I mean by this word deacon. Because different Christian denominations have deacons, but use the word in slightly different ways. Here's a definition that I'll be working with this morning. A deacon is a servant of the church with a particular focus on organized works of mercy. And so in this definition, a deacon is different to an elder. And as we go through today's passage, I think you'll see why. And deacons are also different to our committee of management. We've got a committee of management that does an excellent job looking after our property and finances. They put together the church budget. They do things like arranging installation of new lighting. Have you noticed? It's a bit brighter in here. But the deacons are different. The deacons are particularly focused on organized works of mercy. And so, why have deacons? Well, perhaps you could open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. You might remember that this book of Acts was written by Luke as a kind of volume 2 to his gospel. And what he tells us here about the early church follows on from what he's already told us about the ministry of Christ. And so think for a moment. What did Jesus Christ do during his public ministry on earth? Well, he spent 3 years traveling around, teaching people the good news about the kingdom of God, but also acting with compassion to heal those who were sick and suffering. Jesus showed us that he cares about our spiritual well-being, and he also cares about our physical well-being. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he sent his Spirit to continue his ministry through his church. And so what do we see happening in the church after they've received the Holy Spirit? Well, actually, there's some verses on the front of your newsletter that point out how Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then at the end of this, verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give it to anyone who had need. Can you see how the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, are putting their energy into teaching and caring for each other? They've become passionate and active in the same things that Jesus cared about. There's something about the church when we read about it here that's alive like a living organism. Jesus Christ is the head, and his Spirit-filled people are his body. We have a living connection with him. There's something about that when you read about the early days of the church, there's something that's spontaneous and natural. And yet it's also organized. There's leadership. There's coordination. The apostles are working to help this happen, because it's the apostles who were the ones teaching God's word in public and from house to house. And to begin with, it was the apostles who were managing this ministry to the poor. And so you notice in Acts chapter 4, verse 34, it says that people brought money from the sales of property and put it at the apostles' feet, and from there it was distributed to the people who were in need. Okay, so this is the background. This brings us to Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, which introduces events that take place in a growing church. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing. So think about this. This means that there are more and more people for the apostles to teach. This means that there are more and more people to feed. And then a problem arises. We're still in verse 1. It says, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. See, this first church in Jerusalem was a multicultural church. They were all from a Jewish background, but there were some who mostly spoke Aramaic, who followed a more traditional Jewish lifestyle. They're the ones here who are described as the Hebraic Jews. But then there's others who are part of this church family who are more international. Maybe they grew up overseas. They were more comfortable speaking Greek. They are the Hellenistic Jews. And in the church's ministry to the poor, it's these internationals who are missing out. Maybe part of the issue is that the apostles themselves were from a more Hebraic background. Maybe the apostles hadn't realized how much need there was. Maybe there were language and communication issues. Like you can imagine announcements being made, but not everyone quite getting the message about where they needed to be and when, if they wanted to receive the help. Because, of course, if they missed the announcement, it's not as if they could go back and check e-news. And so the apostles realized that we've got a serious problem. The unity of the church is at stake. And looking after the poor, this is important. This is core business. But then also speaking the word of God is core business. So what are they going to do? I mean, the apostles could just reduce their teaching time, have less Bible studies, all of that, so that they can put more energy into looking after the poor. But they say, no, we can't do that. People need to hear God's word if they're going to be saved and if they're going to grow in their faith. And so, verse 2, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. In fact, it's very interesting, the word they use here when they talks about waiting on tables. But the Greek word is the word diakon. Literally, it would not be right for us to neglect the word of God in order to deacon tables. I mean, it's not that the apostles are too important to roll up their sleeves and serve tables. Rather, it's that God's word is too important to neglect. And so the solution to this problem of too many needs and not enough time, the solution is to multiply ministry workers. And so they say in verse 3, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so now we've got 2 kinds of ministry workers serving the church, each with their own focus. The apostles are carving out time for prayer and for teaching the word of God. They're making sure that the people are spiritually fed, while the 7 new guys are looking after the poor. They're making sure that everyone is physically fed. And this is a great thing because Jesus calls us to be a church of both truth and love. So sometimes churches can have a strong teaching ministry, but are not so good at putting into practice what they're taught. Sometimes churches can be very active in good works, but not very clear on the gospel which saves people. Whereas if we, the body, are faithfully following Christ our head, we want to promote both good news and good works. What's the result? Verse 7, the word of God spread. So this is not about instead of taking their attention off the word of God, actually the word of God spreads and the church continues to grow. What we're reading about here is the church in Jerusalem, the very first Christian church. But as new churches start in other cities, they seem to adopt the same pattern. The people set apart for teaching and overseeing the congregation get called elders. And the people who are focused on looking after the poor get called deacons. Now, of course, every member is called to be involved in both of these areas to some extent. Like, every one of us is called to speak God's word. We're called to build one another up by speaking the truth in love. Well, we've all got to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And every one of us is called to care for our neighbour. We're all called to love in practical ways. That's an outworking of our faith. And so appointing elders and deacons, it's not about outsourcing our speaking or outsourcing our compassion. Rather, elders and deacons provide organisation and structure and direction and leadership so that people don't miss out. That's why I defined a deacon as a servant of the church with a particular focus on organized works of mercy. So what does this look like today? I think one of the big differences between those times and today is that we're in a society that has Centrelink, which is a great blessing. There is financial help available for many who are poor, although not everyone. And so that reshapes a little bit how we think about caring for the poor. But let me try and give you some examples of the work of deacons in a church like ours. Let's imagine that there's a man named Harry. I'm using imaginary names. I don't think we have a Harry, do we? But let's imagine there's a man named Harry. Harry lives alone. One day he has a fall and he breaks his leg. And a friend from church hears about it. He goes and visits him in hospital. He finds out that Harry is, once he goes home, he's going to spend up to 6 weeks in a wheelchair. And so the friend mentions this to one of the deacons, and one of the deacons gives Harry a call and says, Harry, your church cares for you. How can we help? Could we help with meals? Could we help with shopping? And Harry says, look, I'm okay for shopping. I can get that delivered. That's no problem. But actually, I would appreciate some meals because, like, in the wheelchair, I can't stand up and reach the stove. And so at church, the deacon over morning tea gathers together 5 willing helpers and says, okay, I'll set up a meal train and I'll send you the link. Would you each be able to do a meal a week for this next month? Now, can you see how the whole church is involved in caring for Harry, or at least a group of people in the church, but the deacon is the one taking the initiative to make it happen? Or perhaps there's a guy called Rohan. Rohan is an international student from India, and he needs to fill out a form to renew his visa. And his English isn't so great, and so the deacon might be able to pair him up with someone else who originally came here as a student and who has filled out those kind of forms before. Or maybe there's a lady named Daisy who's in a nursing home. She can't drive. Maybe the deacons can gather together a team of people who can arrange transport to and from church. Or the deacons might even help us care for Christian brothers and sisters who are overseas. Like, I don't know, imagine like shoeboxes with Christmas gifts. Now, of course, all of our deacons in our church are volunteers, so we have to be realistic in terms of how much time we expect from them. They'll all have their own job and their own families to care for. But these are the kinds of things that a team of deacons can do to help us be a caring church. So that's why we have deacons. Now, when the time comes for us to have a deacon's election, what kind of people are we looking for? Well, you might have noticed in our passage, there are two main qualifications. You can see it there in verse 3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Full of the Spirit. That is, we want people who show evidence that God is at work in the way that they live. People who demonstrate love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's all the fruit of the Spirit. Because if you're going to go and sit with someone who's suffering, if you're going to respond to people in need, you can't afford to be cold and grumpy and self-absorbed. Because people pick up pretty quickly whether you care or not. And so character, Holy Spirit-shaped character, is so important. But also the second thing, wisdom. We've thought a lot about wisdom this year. Wisdom is the ability to love effectively, to be able to do the job, to be able to communicate, to be organized enough to work together with others. A deacon's not a teacher. It's not an they're not going to be leading Bible studies as part of that role. It's not an upfront kind of a thing, but they will be called on to sit by a hospital bed, to read a psalm, and to pray with someone. It's interesting to look at the names of the 7 men who were appointed in verse 5. We've got Philip, we've got Prochorus, we've got Nicanor, all those, they're all Greek names. And this is relevant because remember, it was the Greek-speaking widows who were missing out. And so it makes sense that they would appoint people who can relate to those Greek widows. And so when we think about our congregation, wouldn't it be great if we could have a team of deacons that's able to relate to different parts of our congregation? Wouldn't it be great to have someone who knows the elderly who are in aged care? Wouldn't it be great to have someone who speaks Mandarin? Wouldn't it be great to have someone who's in touch with those who attend the evening service? Because we want to be able to care for everyone. We don't want anyone to slip through the cracks. Here's a question you might have. The 7 deacons here in Acts are all men. So do the deacons have to be male? I don't believe so. I think actually we should have a mix of males and females because, in the New Testament, we don't meet female elders, but we do meet female deacons. Romans chapter 16, verse 1, it talks about our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church. Or in our reading from 1 Timothy, it described the qualifications for deacons, and then in the middle of that, it includes a section about the women. So yeah, both men and women as deacons. How can you respond to God's word today? Well, I'll give you three ways, and here's the first one. Who among us might be able to take on this role? Think about that. Pray about that. If there's someone that you reckon would be suitable to serve as a deacon, why not go and tell that person? Find out if they'd be willing. Because often when God guides us and calls us to a task, often it's by sending others to speak into our lives. And maybe some of you are sitting there thinking, oh, actually, yes. Yes, this is something that I'd like to do. This is how I see my gifts being used for the good of the church and for the glory of God. So if that's you, come and have a chat to me, chat to Andrew Mills. We can talk about what's involved. Here's a second way that you can respond this morning. Who do you know that is sick or lonely or struggling? Our team of deacons have been serving faithfully. They've completed the 3-year term that they initially signed up for. And so for the next few months, our team of deacons is still here, but we're technically not going to have appointed deacons. And so this next few months is especially a time for everyone to pay attention to those in our midst who maybe are financially struggling in the lead up to Christmas. Maybe those who feel isolated when they see everyone around them celebrating. Maybe those who are unwell or housebound. I guess the first step in understanding the needs around us is talking to each other. Here's something really practical you could do at morning tea. You could, whoever you're talking to, you could ask, hey, brother, sister, what's one thing that you're thanking God for at the moment? And what's one thing that you're struggling with at the moment? This is the kind of community that we've been called to be. A community who cares for one another, because we have a Saviour who cares for us spiritually and bodily. We have a Saviour who came and preached and who healed. We have a Saviour who, he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, to restore our relationship with God. That's how important our spiritual good is to Jesus, that he was willing to die. And yet that wasn't the end of the story. When he rose again, he rose in his body. He shows that his kingdom is not about leaving behind physical well-being, but about restoring humans and ultimately the world that we live in. And so Jesus calls us to work together to proclaim the good news of salvation to the lost, but also to let that good news change us, so that we become people who more and more take on his compassion for those who are weak. Let's be a community of truth and of love. Let's be a people of good news and good works in order to honour Christ, who is our head. Oh, a third way we can respond is to thank God for the work of our deacons. In fact, I'd like to do that now. Can I ask those who have been serving as deacons for the last few years to come up the front? We want to thank God for you guys. We have Joseph,
We have Charlie, we have Fred, we have Liz, and we also have Christine, who's away at the moment. It's been a big 3 years for you guys. Come a bit closer. In some ways, you've been the guinea pigs because you're the first team of deacons that we've had. And so over these last 3 years, you've had to figure out some things along the way. And for a big chunk of your time of service, our church didn't have a full-time minister. And so your role in caring for people was extra important in those months, but without the normal level of backup. And so we want to thank God for the way that each of you have served him faithfully and helped us to be a caring church. It's a big job, but it's a blessed job. Psalm 41 says, "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak." And so as a small token of our appreciation, we'd like to present each of you with a book, and Andrew Mills is going to do that. Andrew's the elder who's worked most closely with the deacons.
Before I do that, I'd just like to say a couple of words. How quickly 3 years has gone. It seems like only yesterday you're beginning your term as deacons and wondering what you had got yourselves into. It was a steep learning curve for the first year, finding your feet in the new roles, but with God's grace, you managed to make it through. It's been a real privilege as an elder to be able to watch you all grow as deacons and to see the way you've been able to impact the church family as needed. Of all the ministries in this church, this is probably my favourite. Sorry to everyone else that's in another ministry. because of the opportunities it brings. It allows you to become part of people's lives, silent and quietly. You get to see the highs and the lows and have an opportunity to offer assistance and care when required. We thank all of you for your different gifts and talents that you've brought to this group and for your willingness to give up your time and resources to be able to serve the church in this way. I know you've cleared the path ahead and paved the road for the next group of deacons to follow. Also, for many of you, even though the title of deacon has ended, some of the work you have done will continue to go on in the church with the relationships you have built over this time. Please accept this small gift now from the church just to say thank you for all that you've done over the last 3 years. It's a book, and I think it's about, is there life after being a deacon? But I know there is. I think it's better than that, yeah. Thank you all once again from your church family for serving us in this mercy ministry.
Thanks, Andrew. On behalf of the deacons, I want to thank you, the church, for allowing us to serve you in this ministry. The mission of the deacons, as mentioned in this church, is centred around mercy ministry, which supports the physical and practical needs of the members of this church and others. It's been a steep learning curve for us and the church, and we are still learning. We thank the Lord for his leading and direction and responsibilities of this ministry, mercy ministry. Our areas of focus are visiting the sick, visiting our elderly members who can't come to church, comforting the bereaved, supporting those who are disadvantaged, arranging transport and assisting when specific needs arise. Over the last 3 years, the Lord has taught us wisdom to manage different situations. He's enabled us to develop trust and friendships with our elderly brothers and sisters in nursing homes and those who are housebound. And by his grace, over the past 3 years, we've developed a range of processes to support members with complex needs. Our Lord has given us a clearer understanding of the needs of this church and the importance of listening, caring, carrying each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Faith in Christ is the root, and love for Christ and others is the fruit. As Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A highlight of mine was visiting our brothers and sisters in their final years. It was a privilege to chat, encourage, pray, and see their unwavering faith in Christ and in his cross. Though they were frail and weak, it was not the end. They looked beyond the horizon. Their faith was strong. Their hope was fixed. They were looking forward to being with the Lord forever. They finished their race. They kept the faith. Praise God for his grace, and praise God for his persevering grace to them and to us all. Lastly, I want to thank our elders for their support and prayers, and for the church and for your prayers, particularly Andrew Mills, who helped steer us during the time when we were without a minister. I want to thank Andrew Vines for his wisdom and guidance during the last 18 months. And of course, thank our deacons, Elizabeth, Joseph, Christine and Charlie, for their love, care and service for the church over the past 3 years. Please thank your spouses for their support, and I want to thank my wife Janice for her love and encouragement and her support. Thank you.
Well, I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God of all compassion. Compassion poured out on us in Christ. Compassion at work through us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you raised up this team of deacons 3 years ago. We thank you for the way that you used them to express your compassion on those in hospital, on those who are lonely or in need or isolated. We thank you for the way that their work and their focus has freed up the elders and ministers to focus on prayer and the word. Father, we pray that you will keep on shaping all of our hearts and our lives by your compassion. Father, please forgive us for those times when our hearts have been cold or closed toward others. Please continue to work and enable us to be a caring community. Please enable us to recognize when people are missing out. And please raise up men and women to serve and to organize for the next 3 years. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.